Hello and welcome to a brand new edition of the Exit Only Theater podcast. As always, I'm JP Lee and this is...
I am Adrian Alderette.
Well, we wanted to kind of introduce the 2016 year with a bang, and that's kind of with a video version of the show. So, hello, welcome.
Hey.
This was kind of in the works for a while.
We've been planning this for, well, when we started this thing last year, we had the idea of eventually going to video.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have the means to do it, so we're like, hey, let's just do a podcast for the hell of it. Now, we have the means to do it thanks to our production specialist named Sean Howard.
Our entire team.
Yeah, who's GoPro-ing himself as we speak.
Who's provided the location, the equipment, and a lot of humor along the way getting set up. So
definitely, and then probably the excellent selection of weird socks that you're wearing right now.
And actually 85 to 90% of the stuff behind us he already owned, so that's great. So we wanted to launch 2016 by sort of taking it back and doing a sort of a retroactive look at 2015. And since the Golden Globes are this weekend and the Oscar nominations come out on January 14th, I believe, sure, we figured let's give our own spin on things. So I'll go over the format real quick. So I'll read off each category of the stuff that we care about, you know, the major acting categories, best picture, best director. And we'll each give sort of a brief explanation for who we think will win. And then later we'll go through sort of a rapid fire conversation of some of the fun categories, because that's sort of the EOT take on things. So, but yeah, we'll get to that. So let's first start with the supporting actor category. Would you like to start things off?
Definitely. Obviously, the supporting actor category kind of, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of weak this year.
It's unconventional, I would say.
But there is definitely a clear winner in my eye.
Okay.
And I'd like to thank you for it. Because,
I'll take credit.
It's Mark Rylance, am I saying that right?
I think so. Rylance, that's how I would have
Bridge
said it.
Of Spies. I think I wouldn't have watched that movie if it wasn't for you saying, hey, you should go see it. Because and I think the general movie-going audience kind of felt the same way,
mm-hmm,
that it was a throwaway Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
But after seeing the movie...
It's actually very good.
That's the thing. Like, now there's no such thing as a throwaway Spielberg movie in my
mind. There are a few.
There are a few, but like...
But
like,
he's stepping his game back up, for
recently,
sure.
Recently, this one I was like, oh, well, it's just a normal story, you know, Tom Hanks being Tom Hanks. But no, like, the guy who steals the movie is Mark Rylance. And his performance, it'd be cliche to say, oh, well, it's subtle. It's not. Like, the thing is, like, there's one line in the movie that evolves, and it's because of him. And it's like... every time Tom Hanks would you prefer to do this or that? He's like, would it help?
Yeah, would it help? He says it three times, I think.
And it's not that he changes the way he says it, but every time in the circumstance he decides to respond, it's the same.
Yep.
And there's a clear intention for that. And I think just that line alone, I think he should definitely win the Golden Globe.
Which is saying something, because it helps that the Coen brothers helped write the script for this, and having that and Spielberg influence how he performed this is probably helpful toward it. But I think it's cool to see him interact with Tom Hanks, because Tom Hanks can be an overpowering figure, being such a big part of the film industry.
Literally.
And it speaks to him as well that he allows Rylance, I guess how we're going to pronounce it from here, how he allows him to sort of just breathe in the scene, and he lets him take over in certain sequences. And he's very understated at the same time.
Yeah.
He stole the show for us, so I completely agree. Mark Rylance is
going to
win.
I wanted to give it to Stallone, but
I thought you were going to, honestly.
I wanted to.
I thought we were going to have a debate.
I love Creed, but by performance alone, easily wins it.
All right, we'll move on to supporting actress. And we're not going to list off all the names, because you can check it out online and follow along with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little quicker just to do it this way. For supporting actress, my choice for winner is Alicia Vikander in Ex Machina.
Two for two right now.
Are we agreeing? Okay, this is a weird start to 2016. And the reason why I picked her is because she's had a breakout year in general, but the performance that she puts together for this movie, being that there are only really three major characters, it feels like a play.
Yeah.
To be a play that's set in a sci-fi setting that also requires her to be understated because she's essentially a robot at her core, but then at the same time able to make a human being fall in love with her to a certain extent. Slight spoiler alert, I guess.
But you have seen the movie by now, for goodness sake.
Exactly. It's been a year at this point. But I loved her performance, and I haven't seen The Danish Girl yet, but I think I'll love her in that as well. So.
I do not plan on seeing The Danish Girl.
fair enough.
But I agree. I picked Alicia Vikander. She was probably my favorite actor / actress of 2015.
Yeah.
The movie was terrific. It took a couple sittings for me to kind of digest what was kind of going on. But the one thing that always consistently impressed me with was her performance.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like, it's not so much, oh, was she acting like a robot perfectly? That's not the point. I think just, like, the little subtleties and what she was able to do while having to portray a machine
was very
impressive. To me, it's the best performance of a robot slash cyborg that I've seen since RoboCop. And that's not a joke.
Like, we've talked about that before.
For me, RoboCop you definitely defend
that performance, for sure.
I believe his name is Peter Weller. The performance, go back and watch that, and then also watch Alicia Vikander and see how, like, the evolution of acting as a robot or a machine has changed. And it's nothing about dealing with the voice. It's just, like, the little movements. And the way she was able to kind of portray that stuff as a machine that's not supposed to have emotion is amazing.
It's a good point that you brought up real quick is the fact that she's actually a trained dancer. So it helps that her physical movements are very, very deliberate, and it plays very well to her part.
That's good
to
know.
Don't get weird. They can see your facial reactions now.
Oh, wait. They can see me now.
Stop.
I hope, by the way, I hope we're as awesome looking as we sound.
I doubt it.
And I bring that up because when we both walked in here, because we were setting up, and when you walked down the stairs coming from work, we both were pretty much wearing the exact same thing. So, it's like I had a beanie, and also she walked out, and I'm like,
we're like denim and beanies.
Beanie. And then like we were like the second we were about to sit down, I was like, who's wearing the beanie? I'm like, no.
He's like, it's not happening. I'm like, I did my hair specifically for the beanie effect. Moving on to the best actor and actress in a comedy or musical role. Mm-hmm. We'll do best actress first.
Cool.
My pick is a little unorthodox, but based on the people available in the category, I feel like it could carry some significance. I think for me, it was Melissa McCarthy in Spy.
You've been defending that movie.
I have been defending that movie.
The year began. Well, since that movie came out.
Right. And there are some heavy hitters in here. Lily Tomlin, Maggie Smith. Like, they're iconic actresses, but there's something she does in this role that's not it's not always the shticky, like, physical comedy thing that she does a lot. There's a lot of subtlety to her performance, too, and I really, really liked it, and it's because I had no expectations going into it.
Yeah.
And having not seen Joy yet and hearing some mixed reviews, and I'm going to go with Melissa McCarthy. I'm going to stick with it, so.
Yeah, like I was looking at the, like, when the nominations came out, I looked at all of them, and it was disappointing not to see Charlize Theron on there. From Mad Max. Like, some could make a case that, oh, she's a supporting actress in the movie, but I think she's definitely on screen enough to be just straight up best actress.
Yep.
But she wasn't nominated for a Golden Globe. Hopefully the Academy gives her some love. But as far as this category goes with the selections that we have, you know, I really want to give it to Amy Schumer because I really liked Trainwreck.
Yeah.
But the thing was that she had a lot of great moments, but not as a overall great performance.
Yeah, and there's some autobiographical moments to it that make it seem like it's almost easy to play you on screen, you know, to a certain extent.
Like, and but like I haven't seen Joy either, but it's gonna go to Jennifer Lawrence.
Most likely.
The movie itself, like, just the way they're selling it, seems like it's a vehicle for her, and you know, hey, that's cool, but it looks like she's playing the same kind of performance that we're used to seeing from her, whether it's X-Men, Hunger Games, or Winter's Bone, where they put her on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, that's cool. Play that character. You know, you're awesome at it, obviously. But, you know, I'd like to, you know, as far as, like, giving an awards, I was just like, you win by default. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You're just you doing you.
It's you. She runs the risk of being a little overexposed by doing things consistently every year the same.
Yeah, like, I'm not excited that she's getting it. Good for her. She's awesome. But, yeah, it's just, like, it's too bad there was no one else that really stood out.
Fair enough. We'll move on to best actor in a comedy or musical.
Cool.
This is kind of a weird category in that I think the person that I want to win may not actually... I haven't actually seen the film, but I'll get to yours first. So who do you think is going to win?
Like, this is the thing. Like, you know how I feel about award season? And it's just like, at the end of the day, it's just, it's a popularity thing. And
to a certain extent,
Golden Globes are, I feel like, the exact example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, what was popular? What was hot? What was hot at the box office? What were people talking about? And there was one movie that everybody went to go see, and there was one performance that everybody remembered because of how fun it was.
I know where you're going.
It's Matt Damon, and like the Martian was a terrific movie. It was fun and everything, and his role and the way he portrayed it, I think was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the exact thing that I think the Golden Globes would celebrate, and I think he's gonna win it.
I could definitely see that. I think his performance is solid because he carried pretty much 70% of the film on his own. I mean, there are a lot of cutaway scenes with other actors, but I wouldn't be devastated if he did win.
Yeah.
I liked Steve Carell's performance in The Big Short, but I thought that was more of a supporting role with a lot of moments that kind of carried scenes. But I would like Mark Ruffalo to win for Infinity Polar Bear.
I didn't even know about that movie until I saw the list. I'm like, Is that like a commercial?
No, no. Okay, so I've heard a lot about it. It's just, it hadn't been playing in this area, so it's been really hard to see it. And then it came out on DVD and things kind of, you know, I kind of lost track of time. But he plays a bipolar father. And it's a sort of a dramedy, so there's a lot of moments that seem, at least in the trailer and the reviews I've read, that there are moments of comedy and drama, and it plays to the character that he is in this role. And I love him as an actor, and I liked him in Spotlight, but I don't want him to win for Spotlight, so I'm transferring my love for Mark Ruffalo to this category.
If he were to have played a real polar bear, then he has my vote. I have to see the movie, if it's good enough for that, then I'll definitely see it, but I'm expecting polar bear.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. We'll move on to the dramas because I think we've seen a few more of the dramas. But so we'll go to best actress. Who's your pick? I want to jump to you.
There's a lot of you know how I like Alicia Vikander. Obviously, I haven't seen The Danish Girl,
nor have
but
I
hear that she's the star of the she's pretty much she steals the movie away from Redmayne.
I've heard that too.
You hear a lot of good things from Brooklyn, a movie may actually be a sleeper for an Academy Award.
Yeah, I could see that actually.
But I think the performance that everyone's talking about, and the one that's, even though she's been around for a while, she put her on the map now, was Brie Larson from Room.
Okay, yep.
And if you haven't seen it, please go see it. The thing is, she's, like I said before, she's been around for a while. She was in things like Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. She was in 21 Jump Street.
Short Term 12.
But she has a lot of really good instincts for someone her age. And I'm really excited seeing what she could do going forward.
Yeah.
And I think this movie definitely brought out the best of what she can do. And I'm really looking forward. I hope she gets more work because of this.
I think her and Alicia Vikander have sort of a sky's the limit to their careers. I mean, the two of them could be competing for things for years to come.
Like my wife. We could hope. No.
I was going to let that moment kind of linger until you change, but you're like, change the topic.
Yeah.
But I actually also agree, Brie Larson. Jonathan saw it in L.A. It's gotten a very, very limited release, but her performance is incredible from what I've heard, and I would love for her to kind of beat a lot of these sort of heavy hitters and more established names. So best actor in a drama.
Okay.
I'll put mine down there real quick. I really enjoyed Michael Fassbender's performance in Steve Jobs. He's also nominated, but I'm going to go with Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, more for the culmination of his career kind of a thing, because I've enjoyed his performances in other films more, but the fact that I watched this film, and we saw it last night, actually, is that there were moments where I actually didn't see Leo DiCaprio in the performance, and that was refreshing, because he plays Leo a lot in things, or he plays characters that allow him to remain looking like Leo. So it was nice to see him physically transform, and the things he puts himself through in this movie. Just give the guy the damn award, seriously.
He's probably going to take a lot of hardware home this award season.
Yeah.
I honestly think that there's a legitimate chance that Bryan Cranston could win something here, because I think the Golden Globes, since he's been around for TV as well, they're going to notice, this is probably, at least on film, is probably his best performance as a lead.
I would like that. I would like to see that. But.
Cranston's terrific. But I think it's definitely DiCaprio for being in The Revenant, which should really be called The Secret Virtue of Vengeance. It's as you said, we saw it last night. To see a film where an actor kind of puts himself through something. We've all seen those kinds of films, but this one was one of the better ones because you literally see him really doing stuff.
Yeah.
There was one scene where he had to take the insides out of a horse and then sleep in there. And, man,
they deliberately take their time showing you things happening.
They show him crawling around where both of his legs seem to be broken. Mm-hmm. And you see him crawling from place to place. And you're just like, it's one thing if you're like a McConaughey or somebody that loses a lot of weight. Or whatnot. But it's another thing where you actually see somebody trying to survive. And you really felt that he was trying to survive. And it was really, I take my hat off to him. My favorite performance of DiCaprio is The Aviator.
And it's underrated in terms of being filmed.
It's really underrated. But I think this one was definitely him bringing out his big guns, man. It was really good.
I'm glad you brought up McConaughey, because if you're going to give him the award for his important performance, then you have to look at the fact that DiCaprio has consistently done great performances in and out, and has also transformed in this one. So it's kind of just I know you should be only film by film basis, but it's he's due, and I'm sure he's got a few others he'll win along the way. Yeah. But this one's solid for him. The film itself, we can get into discussion about that later. But he was very good in it. So
he had a beard.
He did. Come on. He did. And he grew it out. It took him a while. So we'll move on to directing, yes. And then we'll get to the other categories. Best director. Let's just say it real quick. Is it? Okay. I mean, is it consensus?
I hope you picked George Miller.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay, good, cool. good. We were gonna have a problem.
I'd like to hear your reason first.
We're gonna have a problem. The fact that this man, 70 years old, came out with a film that's contemporary, it's relevant, it's action-packed, it appealed to a pretty broad audience. It had the craziest number of components to pull off these action sequences, but also gave us compelling characters. I take my hat off to him. I mean, yeah. Not literally, because my hair would be a mess, but I absolutely loved what he did with that film.
If the award is for achievement in directing, it's I don't think it's even close.
No, at all.
I know Iñárritu did an amazing job and like doing The Revenant and all that stuff, but like that film itself too, like it didn't need to be made the way it was made.
Right, it's like the Boyhood problem. Like, why are we doing this for the sake of doing it? I don't know.
And that's not a knock on him. Like, he wanted to try it, he did it.
Yeah,
and,
it's
but
beautiful.
The fact that, like you said, George Miller, 70 years old.
It's crazy.
Came out with something that looked like a Slipknot video. And he's been doing it since the late 70s. Mm-hmm. And this one was probably, obviously he's going to make more, if, you know, God willing, he just keeps living because he's up there in age. Mm-hmm. But it was a terrific film that got better every time I saw it. And the difficulty, but the skill to take what seems like a simple story, but disguise these really important themes was really, really cool. Really cool. Like, I don't care. Like, well, obviously it wasn't the biggest blockbuster of the year, but it was by far not only the best blockbuster in quality, but one of the best films, execution, everything.
And that's what I think it's surprising to people that it's popping up on a lot of best films of the year categories, not just for you know being a modestly sized blockbuster. It was just a really well done film, and awesome. I think it, hands down, he should win it.
Yeah.
So we'll get to the two juggernaut categories. The Golden Globes, as you know, breaks it down into comedy and drama for best picture.
And musical.
And comedy or musical, that's right. So for best picture, comedy or musical, my pick is The Big Short. I think Adam McKay just killed it for his first sort of dramatic-ish film. You could argue the cinematography is a little funky sometimes. There's a lot of push zooms and things that feel a little jarring at times, but it's very intimate, and he incorporates pop culture in a way that makes you care about mortgages and things that you wouldn't necessarily think you'd understand. So I that movie and the way Spotlight operated are very similar procedurals, but yeah. I think The Big Short was really successful the way it worked. So.
I think The Big Short is the favorite going in, but I think The Martian's going to take
it. You think so?
I think just like the fact that the response to it was very surprising to me. I remember when we reviewed it earlier when it came out, it surprised me how much
love it got.
How much love it got. But I think the fact that you have, obviously The Big Short like leads the league in like star power.
Yeah.
But the fact that Matt Damon was able to kind of pull not a Revenant, but like almost have like a Revenant style performance where it's like, all right, what am I gonna do? But it was uplifting, and it was, you never really see that with like, that kind of with a movie about survival.
Yeah.
It wasn't like what was that movie with Tom Hanks? It escapes me. Castaway.
Yeah.
Where Castaway was kind of like that, but it was very, very disturbing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
This one was like, he's like, no, we're going to survive. We're going to survive. We're going
to
survive.
It was an ode to problem solving, which is kind of a weird thing to do in a blockbuster.
And I think for something like the Golden Globes, I think they'll respond to that. And they'll say, all right, let's give this awesome, probably the best feel-good survival movie we'll ever see.
And they do like Ridley Scott. And for him to return to form is also a good count, a good side. So for best picture for drama in the drama category, I'm assuming we have the same one. I don't know. It could go either way.
I hope it's Mad Max.
It is Mad Max. It is Mad Max. I struggled for a second. I'm like, do I do what I think they're gonna do? This is what I want them to do, and I genuinely think they could do it.
Yeah.
So.
It's like I said before, like the fact that you not only get great performances, and I think it's Charlize Theron's best performance that I've seen. With all the moving parts, like all the wheels that are turning, no pun intended, you know, it's so cool. Like, there's so many little things about this that are just cool. It's the coolest movie that came out this year.
And there's a lot of good themes. It's not just a popcorn movie. There's a lot going on. There's depth to it.
Yeah.
It warrants being in that category, and of the five that are there, it warrants winning among them. So
I hope it wins. I hope it wins.
Absolutely.
I want to just see him get up the entire time he's there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to, actually, Sean, do you have a pick for, like, just best movie of either of those categories? Is there one that you particularly liked?
Can we explain what the crappy light that he has right now?
We're on a budget, so if we split screen it's kind of ridiculous.
This is the thing, if we get more than 50 views on this, we'll get him a better light.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's really good. And most of those most of those views will be for Sean anyway,
I
so.
I was about to say, the only eye candy we could afford was
I don't even know what the question was.
You know,
the question was like, what was your favorite? What was the of the category of like best picture? Like you have Carol, Mad Max, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. Like I'm pretty sure, like
Mad Max. It's gotta be right. Yeah.
Like, do you think it's like a word or not? Was it your favorite movie of the year?
Probably. It will be Star Wars. It's the toss-up between both of them for me.
We'll get to that.
Sorry.
Actually, I'm gonna keep him on for just a second. So the Golden Globes are split between movies and film. I mean, film and television. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Film and television. So for the person in the room that's kind of more the resident TV guy, I'm not gonna make you go through categories. No. I wouldn't put you on the spot like that. But is there like a TV show that either people should be watching, or is or isn't nominated? Just something that you've been kind of tuning into that you'd want to kind of give a shout out to.
I think just a surprise one was Mr. Robot, because no one really knew about it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And not many people have even really watched it still. So.
It's true.
Well, it got a lot of good views. But no, yeah, you're right. Because the fact that it's on a network like TBS. Like,
that's
thing,
yeah.
Yeah, because
USA.
USA. Yeah. Well, Bruce and Cooler. No, that was my pick too, Mr. Robot. Of the ones that were nominated, that one was definitely my pick, just because cool. It's for your film fans out there, it's a very David Fincher-like show that has like this underlying creepiness where you kind of, but like in a spy thriller sense, where you feel like you're being watched everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Where
I wasn't expecting that. That wasn't what I was.
And that's the thing, like you hear like a title like Mr. Robot, and you see the lead actor who's like this really like this pretty guy. It's like, what is it gonna be? Like, what are we expecting here? Some guy that makes a robot? Not at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's just I believe that's his nickname, right? Is Mr. Robot because of how he kind of like has.
I can't tell you because it ruined the show.
See, I respect that.
Okay.
I respect
that. Okay, but like, yeah,
that's reason enough to tune in.
It's very cinematic how it looks, but it's also in how it's paced.
Mm-hmm.
So feel free to like. It's just it's awesome. Like, I know you guys like Game of Thrones, but you know,
oh, love me some Game of Thrones. I'm very late to the Game of Thrones train. But my pick is actually Transparent. I don't know if any. I know that the Jeffrey Tambor wins last year kind of gave it a little momentum, but I finally tuned into the first season a couple weeks ago, and there are moments in that show that are like perfectly written, and it feels like you're almost like spying on a real family, and it's incredible. And the music selection and the cinematography is awesome. There are only 10 episodes, 30 minutes each. It's easy viewing. Check it out. They're like fairly unlikable characters, but you see yourself in every single one of them. So that's my pick for sort of the sleeper.
That's a good one.
Show.
I still want to check it out.
It's really good. It's on Amazon. Yeah. Go check it out. Yeah. So now I think we can take away the sort of formalities of the Golden Globes and
thank
sort of
God.
Talk about our. I know it's goodbye. Relax. So we just exit screen left. And we'll go through our sort of rapid fire. Categories of our own. So we don't have to do any quick. We don't have to do any formal breakdowns of anything, but just a quick like. Most badass moment on screen. Like, what was to you that moment that was like, holy shit, what am I, oh my god, like,
dude,
there's a few, but.
Like, for me, like, it's easy to go Star Wars, but I like.
I feel like everything could fit Star Wars in the categories.
Like, everything could be Star Wars,
yeah,
but the
yeah.
thing is, like, I wanted to really think hard. It's like, all right, what was a moment when we were at the theater that, you know.
He did his homework.
Yeah, I know, I hate to say it, because it's a movie that we both can't defend anymore. It's Jurassic World. It's the three-way fight between the Raptor, the T-Rex, and then the.
Uh-huh.
Super T-Rex, and it, I remember watching that and just having chills. I'm like, man, this is just, this is like a sci-fi movie on steroids.
I was like, hell yeah, with like a tear rolling down my eye.
It was really cool, but what was yours?
I actually had that written down. I also had his honorable mentions. The Tom Cruise was hanging off a plane in the first 5 minutes of Rogue Nation, which was incredible.
Yeah.
And when Rey flips the Millennium Falcon, that moment, I freaked out. I know it's a recent one, but that was probably, yeah, that's up there. That's almost tied with T-Rex, because I figured Jurassic Park.
I could have also picked the time Alicia Vikander looked straight on screen. I thought she looked at me.
He's got a crush. I mean, you can't blame him. You can't blame him. Actually, this may or may not work for you in the transition. Breakout star of the year.
Alicia Vikander. Yeah, it's
see?
Her. Like, she's, like, obviously,
we didn't
like,
plan
my admiration
that, guys.
For her is awesome. Like, it's, I really admire how good she is.
No,
for someone who's, like, you look at her track record pre Ex Machina, there's almost nothing there. She was a model.
Mm-hmm.
But she's one of the few that made the transition.
Yeah.
I also saw her in Man from U.N.C.L.E., and she was really entertaining
I forgot
in that
she
one.
Was in that
and
well, yeah.
Yeah, she is really, she's just, she has a really bright future.
Sweet. Yeah. I actually put the entire cast of Ex Machina because they have killed it this year.
That's
so,
true. Yeah.
I mean, between her, Oscar Isaac, Domhnall Gleeson. I have a hard time saying his name. Yeah. All three of them have just been kicking ass this year, and I hope they continue to do so. Yeah. So next category is movie you hope no one forgets.
Creed. I think Creed was, if I were to list my three favorite, I think the three just best films of the year, I would go Mad Max, Creed, and Inside Out.
Okay.
And Creed was just so well done, and it's a great movie, but I think we're witnessing like the introduction of a special filmmaker in Ryan Coogler.
Nice.
I think he's really, really good. I think he has an awesome future. I wish they would replace Colin Trevorrow with him for the last Star Wars movie.
There are petitions to get Colin Trevorrow off Episode 9.
Yeah, but they want George Lucas.
I know, that's a side note. For me, I have my honorable mentions. I hope Ex Machina doesn't lose its steam, especially in the award scene. The award season, it's starting to get a little bit more respect. Yeah. Steve Jobs, no one saw that. I loved that film, but for me, it's The Gift. It didn't. It didn't get any love. I mean, it made a lot of decent amount of money, but it isn't getting any like any awards buzz. This is kind of strange to me. But I really, really like that film, and I would love for everyone to check it out. And we've talked about it in previous episodes, so we won't get into
it.
If
you haven't seen it, please go see it.
Please do. Yeah.
It's a gift.
I was trying to stop him from. The next category is best give you the feels scene.
For me, I'm going to go back to Creed. There was this, when Sylvester Stallone tells the Adonis character that when Adonis finds out he has cancer, Sylvester Stallone's character, Rocky, and when Stallone says, "I'm not gonna go through chemotherapy, man. I'm just gonna let it happen."
Because he's seen people go through it.
Yeah, because he has nothing left. He's he misses his wife Adrian, and it's. I remember watching that with my family, and it was really just a really sad moment. Just because seeing that with your family when that's the only thing you care about, and then you don't have it, you're just like, well.
It's a theme everyone can relate to. Yeah.
And, for me, that one, I definitely shed some tears.
Like, no, there are a couple moments in Creed that I was very moved by. Mm-hmm. But my pick is Bing Bong's moment in Inside Out.
That's so good.
I've actually never physically made sounds when I cried in a movie. I was I couldn't catch my breath the second time I saw that film in that scene.
Yeah.
And I was watching it with my parents, and it was just, I'm not an only child, but my brother wasn't there at the time. I was watching it with just them, and there's the whole dynamic of seeing it again. That moment is just crushing. Yeah. So the next, there's a lot, two left. That was actually better than expected movie.
Oh, this one, there's actually a tie for me. There were two movies. The first one was because of you, The Gift.
Okay.
Again, I remember when you were like, hey, let's go watch that. I'm like, but it looks like so cheesy.
The commercials were so bad.
The commercials
were
terrible.
The TV spots
were
awful.
It was really good. I thought it was going to be a Lifetime movie, and it wasn't. And it was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I saw with Sean here. It was for free. Remember when we saw that, dude?
I didn't go to it.
Take that back. Well, I felt like somebody was with me. I went to go see that in a screening, and it was actually really entertaining. It bombed at the box office, but it stars Man of Steel, Henry Cavill, who's acting, is not great. But at the same time, he was what he needed to be in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Armie Hammer's back. I think he's terrific. But then again, Alicia Vikander's in the movie, and she's awesome. It's an entertaining movie. It's a popcorn movie. Go see it.
Sounds good. For me, it was Kingsman.
Did
not know what to expect going into that, and aside from being really confused in the church sequence for the first 30 seconds and then being like, just give in, this movie's absurd, I loved it. The absurdity of it all was incredible, and I look forward to seeing the sequel, whatever they do with it. The wow, that was a shitstorm movie, the movie that kind of was like, oh, that could have been good, but it kind of shit the bed. So what was your pick?
This is the thing, I know you're assuming that I'm going to say Fantastic Four, but I'm not.
That's the obvious choice, so what is the other one?
To me, the obvious choice for me was Southpaw. It was such a stupid movie.
It hits so many cliche moments.
I literally wrote that down. It's like they tried to hit on every cliche note for a tough guy boxing movie. Fantastic Four didn't make me feel this mad just because, we knew what was going to happen as far as, what happened behind the scenes.
It made me mad how stupid it was.
When Creed was so much better a few months later. It's like, come on, guys. My pick actually was something I wanted to be good and wasn't. It was Tomorrowland. Because I really, really wanted that movie to be good, and my expectations for it were so much higher than I think they should have been. And I was let down so badly. And the film was so convoluted and so disjointed and didn't know what it wanted to do, didn't know what it wanted to be. and I was really upset because the source material, the idea of that seemed just so intriguing, and they just killed it, and it's in a bad way.
Sounds like your Disney version of Man of Steel.
Oh, it's so my Disney version.
If we
of
had
Man of
one
Steel.
Extra category. It's not as bad as people made it out to be. Tomorrowland would have been my pick. But no, I understand why. I understand its flaws.
But yeah, I mean, you look at Rotten Tomatoes, it's 50-50. So you could look at it that way. It's like, oh, it's better than people thought. Or it's not as good as people wanted it to be. Yeah. It could go either way. But just to wrap up, what's the biggest takeaway of the year? What's something that you were like, all right, 2015's done. This is what I take away from it.
I think this is the year. I know everybody's looking at 2016 as year of the blockbuster or year of the superhero.
Yep.
Realistically speaking, if you look at what 2015 was, it was the year of the blockbuster.
Yeah.
If you look at from the beginning when it started with Fast 7, which a movie that I thought was terrific.
Mm-hmm. You didn't get enough love on it on the show.
No,
yeah.
It's a terrific mm-hmm. movie. It's a lot of fun. Then you look at movies like that ended up breaking box office records, like Jurassic World, mm-hmm. Avengers: Age of Ultron was a garbage movie, but at the same time it made a ton of movie.
Tell me how you really feel.
A ton of money.
Yeah.
And then you have obviously the end-all be-all Mad Max, and then Star Wars Star Wars was what it was, and you look at it from top to bottom, yeah, like the quality wasn't necessarily all there spread throughout, but the fact that potentially the Oscar winning movie or the Golden Globe winning movie
could be a $100 million film. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's refreshing. I think my biggest takeaway was that Disney has kind of reinserted itself as a brand.
That's a good one, man.
I mean, even films like Cinderella, which we didn't see, made a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Age of Ultron, neither of us really liked it, but it still made a ton of money. Inside Out, Star Wars, they're taking pieces of our childhood, buying them, and then
reset. Well,
like, and yeah, and that didn't get as much love. It's more in that Cars category of kids. I think kids liked it, but it didn't gather as much traction. Disney has stepped it up, and
they have a big 2016 coming up. You have Jungle Book. You have Rogue One coming out later in the year. Then you have all the Marvel films as well.
Just to hit a home run with Star Wars just reaffirms the kind of money they're spending on properties. So, mm-hmm. And the quick, it's our way of explaining how much we love 2015 is we need to tell the world what our favorite movie was. Not the top three.
No, yeah.
Not just right now. If you had to say like this movie is going to win. Or this movie in my world of Best Picture nominees is going to win. What would it be?
My favorite movie of the year, like...
And if you explained it already, it's fine.
No. I want, like, my heart wants to pick Creed, mm-hmm. but it's Mad Max. It's my favorite movie of the year. The first time I saw it in the theater in 3D, I thought, like, oh, well, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second time I saw it, then the third time I saw it, it gets better every single time because there's little... Like, seeing in the movie theater was one thing, because obviously you get the experience of seeing a blockbuster movie.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch it intimately at your house, you pick up the little subtleties of the film. And I think it's really... I know we discussed this yesterday.
Yeah.
Where you're like, does it get better watching it at home and not experiencing it
in the true format,
screen?
Yeah.
And yeah, it gets better. It gets better and better. I feel like that's why they want to release it in black and white this coming year.
Oh, that'd
be
gorgeous.
They're like, oh, just come see it again.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. I would check that out. And it's a testament to George Miller again. Mm-hmm. My pick is Inside Out. It's a complete film, and to be able to do that in a kid's medium to make such an important statement about just like mental health and just your emotions in general, and just, it's such a complex concept, and Pixar just hit it out of the park again. That's my favorite film of the year. Star Wars is the most fun I had at the movies.
That's why I'm curious.
But Inside Out's my favorite film of the year.
I could have totally expected Star Wars.
I would love Star Wars to win, but that's the most fun I've ever had at the movies, but Inside Out to me is a better film.
Okay.
So,
cool.
That's...
Fun.
What is yours? He thought he was off the hook.
I would say Fantastic Four. No.
He lost all credibility.
Star Wars easily.
Star Wars easily. Do you think it'll actually make noise at any of the awards?
I don't know.
It's got a few BAFTAs.
I feel like it has to.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because critics aren't like keen on those kind of movies. It's like how they treat comic book movies. It's like.
Yeah, I feel like if there's ever a year to make an exception, it's this year.
There's some high quality blockbuster movies.
I think I'm very interested in seeing going forward at the other the awards. Like for instance, like the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
It would screw Mad Max over, but I would buy into it. I'd be like, I understand.
In the expanded pool of Best Picture nominees, I could see at least getting nominated.
Yeah.
So, and that's a victory in and of itself because of the Dark Knight rule and how that got excluded.
Rest in peace.
So before we look ahead to 2016, thank you guys for checking this out. Please tune into our Twitter feeds because this weekend, Golden Globes, we're going to be live tweeting. giving instant reactions, kind of, we also have a pool going on to see who's going to be the most accurate picker of the winners. Maybe we should place a bet on that. I'm not sure. Stay tuned for that as well.
Winner gets a nacho. Just one.
Just one giant chip. Yeah. A special shout out again to Sean for providing everything. He'll put an applause track to pretend there's an audience here. Just tune in. We have this
going on. More often now.
Essentially from now on if we can. So
yeah, if you guys listen to us from the beginning and when we started the podcast, obviously it takes some time to ironing out some stuff. But the more we do it, the more improvements we're going to get.
Yeah, bear with us.
And
we're getting better.
Yeah, the more we do, the more content we're going to put out. Hopefully we put out some other stuff too. Eventually we might get into TV. We might, depending on if Sean wants to wear pants.
That's a 50-50 proposition. Let's be real.
For everybody that tunes in all the time, thank you for supporting us. And please continue sharing this with your friends. And,
absolutely.
You know, feel free to reach out via Twitter or Facebook. Ask us any question you want. We'll answer it on here.
And we're going
to
keep writing things, too. So all our formats are expanding. So we're only going up from here. So for Adrian Alderette, Sean Howard, I'm JP Lee. This is Exit Only Theater, and we'll see you when the credits roll.
See ya.